This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and today on the show, we're going to be talking about matrimony, about marriage, not just about any marriage. We're going to be talking about marriages that have lasted 50 years or more. Our guest, Cheryl Kurland, is the author of a wonderful coffee table book called Everlasting Matrimony, Pearls of Wisdom from Couples Married 50 Years or More. Cheryl is an author, she's a writer, she's a speaker, and I'm just really fascinated to learn what she has learned talking to couples who have been together so long.
You know, a lot of people used to ask me when Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt split, why did they split? You know, what's your opinion? And my thought back was probably the reason they split was the problems that existed in the relationship from the very beginning that they never solved. And so what if they have millions of dollars and lots of homes and lots of possessions? That can't make a relationship work. Attitude is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think positively, positive things are going to happen. If you think negatively, negative things are going to happen. Usually that's the way it works. So if you have a positive attitude about your relationship, then likely the relationship is going to be healthy and successful and lasting and strong, and it will continue getting stronger over the years. This is the Rock tradition. They said that they have traveled over the years to many places, many destinations, and every place they've gone, they bring home a rock, and they write on it where it came from and the date that they got it, and they would put it in their backyard, and over the years, they have built a rock garden. So it's really a garden of their memories. There was a gentleman who he was in his 20s, and he was supposed to go to a dance, and he had a date. Well, the date got appendicitis. So he was hurrying, calling around to all his friends. Does anybody know a girl that's not fixed up yet or not going to the dance yet? So somebody said, well, I know Helen. I know this nice woman, Helen. So they got fixed up at the last moment, and P.S., they ended up marrying each other. This couple, they met because they both went to visit their siblings in college on the same weekend, and the siblings were in the same dorm across the hall from each other. And the guy and the girl, they somehow passed each other in the hall and sparks flew. And 3 days later, they were engaged.
Welcome to the show, Cheryl.
Thank you, Chip. And a pleasure to join you today.
Now, I understand you actually went and interviewed 75 couples who have been married at least 50 years or more. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. There's 150 role models in the book, and there's over 4,000 years of successful marriage documented in the book.
Wow, that's a lot of marriage time.
Well, the longest married couple in the book is now 76 years married, so they're all married at least 50 years, and then when you add on all the others, it comes out to over 4,000 years of marriage, and these are the real-life experts, so it's real-life advice.
Wow. Now, how'd you get this idea? Where did you come up with this?
The idea stemmed from frustration of always hearing about celebrity divorces, and I call it celebrity roulette, and they drop their spouses like they're pouring out a bad cup of coffee, and I'm a writer by profession, and I thought about, we just never hear about success stories, and I know they're out there. And when I researched to see if any book had ever been written by a couple married 50 years or more, if anybody had interviewed them, I found that there was a big void. There's tons of Dr. Phil books, but none by the real-life experts. And so that set me on the journey to write this book.
Now, you know, I don't know if you know this, but you're actually right at the forefront of a trend. There's a whole movement in psychology and therapy right now towards what they call positive psychology, which is exactly that. Instead of looking at what's wrong, let's look at what happy, healthy people do and learn how to emulate that. So, great. This is terrific stuff. Why do you think celebrities fail at marriage?
I think that celebrities fail at marriage for the same reason that ordinary, quote, ordinary couples fail. that their problems are no different. They are just because of their status, their fame, then we hear about them more. But I think that their problems are probably identical to everyone else's. It's just theirs get publicized.
Yeah, very hard to live in a fishbowl.
Yes, yes. And I think that if you were to talk to some of them, you know, a lot of people used to ask me when Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt split, why did they split? You know, what's your opinion? And my thought back was probably the reason they split were the problems that existed in the relationship from the very beginning that they never solved. And so what if they have millions of dollars and lots of homes and lots of possessions? That can't make a relationship work.
Now, when you were interviewing these people, was there anything that all the couples agreed on? Was there any sort of universal truth that you got from...
Definitely. There is definitely a common denominator, and I'll tell you first what it's not, and then I'll tell you what it is.
That'd be great.
What it's not is commitment. People always say, well, you have to be committed. Committed this, committed, 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 and it's overused. And committed really implies that you took the vows and you're just going to stick it out. You know, no matter how miserable you are, it's just the fact that you made this commitment. But I call it the D word. In our generation today, the D word is divorce. If things aren't working out, you just get divorced. In their generation, and this is the common denominator, the D word is determination, that no matter what curveballs life threw your way, high, low, and everything in between, that you were a lifelong partnership. And there was going to be a solution. You were going to find a way to make things work out and find harmony and contentment. And so the common denominator is purely determination.
And, I did read the book, actually, and one of the things that I'm struck by when you read each of these interviews, the men and the women, it is the thing that you hear again and again. It's not so much, it is so much the, I know I love this person, and we just had to figure out how to get through the good and the bad, and we just had to figure out how to get through each next day, and that's what got us the reward of being together so long.
Right, and these couples, also people sometimes say to me, but times were so different than implying that it was easier and that roles were more defined. But if you look at these couples, having been married 50 years or longer, they've all lived through the Depression. They've lived through World War II and the Korean War. They didn't have the medical technology. They didn't have the communication technology, and they didn't have marriage counseling. It was thought to be taboo. And so if you put all these together, you would say, how could they possibly succeed? And if you put it in the year 2007, you would say these people were crazy to get married under all those circumstances, and for sure they would fail. So, yeah, times were different then, and it was a mindset, it was an attitude, and it's the way that they were motivated.
Now, it seems to me that there's some prescriptive stuff you get out of this, some advice that you can give to people who aren't yet 50 years into their matrimony. I know you talk a little bit about the WAM principle, the WAM principle.
Yes.
What is that?
Okay, the WAM principle is WAM, and WAM stands for the will, the attitude, and the motivation. The will is, do you have the desire to make the relationship a lifelong, lasting, and fulfilling relationship? Is that what you want in your heart of hearts? And the attitude is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think positively, positive things are going to happen. If you think negatively, negative things are going to happen. Usually that's the way it works. So if you have a positive attitude about your relationship, then likely the relationship is going to be healthy and successful and lasting and strong, and it will continue getting stronger over the years. And then the M is the motivation. Do you have the mental and physical capacity, what it takes to really keep a relationship ticking and get through the hard times and celebrate the good times? So it's the will, the attitude, and the motivation.
It sounds like wonderful advice. Tell me, of these couples, did any of them strike you as like, in your opinion, sort of like they should have failed and they succeeded anyway?
Probably all of the couples at some point in their marriage thought, you know, failure was in the moment, but they never thought that their relationship would fail. And truly, what happened when I interviewed this couple, when I was searching for the couples, actually, I found many other couples married 50 years or longer, but they're not in the book because they didn't want to be interviewed. They were miserable. So the ones that are in the book, they set their own criteria, basically. I didn't have to weed anybody out. they were overjoyed that someone would want their opinion about anything, because our society tends to put older people aside, and they have so much wisdom. And so they welcomed the opportunity to speak their voice and share what they had, and there was no sign of failure. And in fact, in meeting many of the couples, they still had that twinkle in their eye, and they always touch each other, and it's just the way they laugh and share just the simple pleasures of being together. So failure was not even an option for them.
This show is called Love, Intimacy, and Sexuality, you know, the sex, love, and intimacy. And one of the things that happens around the sex stuff is that I notice couples fear that the sex is just going to go away. It just goes away, you know. Was that what these people said, that, you know, after 50 years, kind of sex was sort of a back burner?
That's an interesting question, because I actually did not even ask the question anything about sex, because I thought it was too personal, especially for their generation. I didn't think they would talk about it openly. But in the general questions of what makes a marriage successful, many of them talked about sex as being a wonderful dimension of the relationship, that it was just another way to elevate the aspect of having this lifelong partnership. And another part of sex, though, that I thought was really interesting and funny at the same time, was many of them said that sex was a great way to make up after you've had an argument, that they had some of the best romps in the hay after they had a big argument and made up, and that was kind of their way to reconnect and say, we still love each other. And as far as aging and sex, that, I mean, these people are in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, so of course their bodies are not what they used to be, but for them, sex is cuddling, holding hands, you know, winking at each other, and if they can actually, you know, do the sex act itself, then they still enjoy that. But it has different definitions as age occurs. But in their eyes, it's still a very physical relationship in whatever they can do.
Yeah, I actually think they have a lot to teach us, because I think that different definition actually isn't just about age. I wish everybody would learn that sex is everything from holding hands and looking deeply into each other's eyes, to sharing hot tubs, to quiet moments together. I mean, you know, we aren't just our genitals, so there's so much more.
Exactly.
Sexuality.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break, give a chance to give a little support to our sponsors. My name is Chip August. You are listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Expanded Lovemaking, a weekly internet audio program and podcast for men and women on Personal Life Media. Get advanced techniques that expand your lovemaking bliss.
We're back. I'm Chip August. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. We're talking to Cheryl Kurlin, who's written this wonderful coffee table book called Everlasting Matrimony, Pearls of Wisdom from Couples Married 50 Years or More. I was fascinated by stories about folded potato chips, about rocks, and about Christmas ornaments. Do you want to talk a little bit about what those have to do with strong relationships?
All of those items pertain to traditions, having traditions in your marriage, and in talking to couples in the book and also outside of the book, many of them have said that traditions have been a very important part of keeping them connected, a foundation for the relationship. And these particular traditions that you just mentioned, the folded potato chips, one couple said that, the wife said that she has this thing about folded potato chips. When you open a bag and sometimes they're folded in half, that she just likes picking them out. And so her husband, knowing this, he'll go through a bag of potato chips and hand them to her. And she says that every one of those folded potato chips that he picks out for her is a love note. So that's their tradition. Another tradition, this is a couple who, this is the rocks tradition. They said that they have traveled over the years to many places, many destinations, and every place they've gone, they bring home a rock, and they write on it where it came from and the date that they got it, and they would put it in their backyard, and over the years, they have built a rock garden. So it's really a garden of their memories, and so that is their tradition, and in fact, their children, who are now grown and have their own children, have continued the tradition of picking up rocks and identifying them. So this rock garden has grown and grown over the years. And then the other tradition, Christmas ornaments, another couple said, this is similar to The Rocks, where that every year they buy another ornament that has special meaning just to them, either someplace they've gone or somebody important has given it to them. It's some kind of memory to them. And so every year when they open their Christmas ornaments and decorate the tree, that's their tradition to go through all these ornaments and replay all of these wonderful moments that they've had. And the point about traditions is that couples today don't have traditions. We all have family traditions, you know, things we do as a family on the holidays, you know, where you're going to go on vacation, but couples don't do things just one-on-one together. And these couples in Everlasting Matrimony said that traditions were a really important part of their marriage and that closeness, and it made it special to them. It made their relationship different from anyone else's.
It's such, they're such lovely stories. The whole, I could, you know, the potato chip, the rock story, I just, you know, you could just really feel the sweetness of the relationships between
What's funny is
women.
With the folded potato chips, when I've told other people that, is a lot of people who do have traditions, the couples who do, another one said that she likes brown French fries, like when you go to a restaurant, they're the kind of the burn ones. It's the same thing. And then another couple said that they one year they went to the Masters golf tournament and they loved the egg salad sandwiches there. Well, they've never been back to the tournament, but every year on the weekend of the Masters, they go out for a picnic and they have egg salad sandwiches. So that's their annual tradition that they do together.
It's so sweet. Now, there was a lot of talk in here about faith. Where does faith fit in marriage?
That was really interesting, the way that the couples in Everlasting Matrimony approach faith. First of all, many of them met in a faith environment, which I think gives a lot of hope to people still looking for Mr. Right or Ms. Right. Where are they? Where are they? And so many of them met either in a church function or a synagogue function or something that had a faith orientation to it. So that's a great way to meet somebody who's really special. And as far as the relationship itself, a number of the couples said that faith was their kind of a community to them, that it was a grounding, it was a place of friendship, and also that it was very valuable, that especially in times of difficulty, challenges, that sometimes there are just no answers to problems. There's just not a ready solution, and you do have to rely on a higher power to help you get through it. You don't quit. You say, I have faith, whatever your faith may be, and if it's praying or however you approach it, but that faith was really a real strong foundation to many of them. And even throughout their 50 years of marriage, many of them have been active in their religious faith, either, you know, belonging to a church or a synagogue, or just in their own way, having religion as part of their life was another dimension of that bond in their relationship.
And you talk about that many of them met at their synagogues or at their churches. All the little blurbs about how they met.
Yes.
It was just so fascinating to me, all the different ways that people met. Do any of them particularly stand out in your mind as particularly amusing or that
yes.
touched you particularly?
Yes, definitely. There's some that I just think are very funny. One that I think is funny is... there was a gentleman who he was in his 20s, and he was supposed to go to a dance, and he had a date. Well, the date got appendicitis, so he was hurrying, calling around to all his friends. Does anybody know a girl that's not fixed up yet or not going to the dance yet? And so somebody said, well, I know Helen. I know this nice woman, Helen. So they got fixed up at the last moment, and P.S., they ended up marrying each other. And so that was one of them. Another one was a couple, the gentleman had had his wisdom teeth pulled. He was in the hospital. In those days, they hospitalized you. And one of his friends, a girl, went to go visit him. And the sister just tagged along. Well, P.S., the sister and the patient ended up getting married. And so that was another one. And let me think for just a minute. There's so many. Oh, here's another one. This couple, they met because they both went to visit their siblings in college on the same weekend. And the siblings were in the same dorm across the hall from each other. And the guy and the girl, they somehow passed each other in the hall and sparks flew. And 3 days later, they were engaged.
Wow.
Yeah, so the stories, I mean, it can happen anytime, anywhere. People just have to, you know, keep their eyes and ears open. There's a lot of opportunity. And another one, I love this one. This is a couple who, the mother says to the daughter, We're low on toilet paper. Can I run you up to the grocery store, and will you run in and get it, and I'll wait out in the car for you? She said, sure, sure. So she goes into the grocery store. Mom takes her. She gets out of the car, goes into the grocery store, and she goes to get the toilet paper. Well, she's walking up to the cash register to pay for it, and there's this gorgeous man behind the cash register, and she thought to herself, there's no way I'm taking toilet paper up to this man and paying him for it. So she puts the toilet paper down. She goes out the store with nothing. Goes back to the car, and her mom says, what happened? She tells her mom, I was too embarrassed. So the mom parks the car. She goes in. She buys that and a few other things, as moms tend to do. And the manager, the nice manager, he said, can I carry your groceries out to the car for you? Well, lo and behold, he ended up meeting the daughter, and the manager and the daughter got married.
It definitely, I often think that the evidence that the universe isn't just a random thing are these stories. Like, it's clear people were just meant to meet.
I agree. There's something about fate.
Yes.
I don't believe that there's just one person for each person, but I do believe there's something about fate in our lives, the twists and turns that each person's life takes individually.
Yeah. We're going to take another short break, give a chance for our sponsors to give us a little support and for us to give a little support to them. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm Chip August, and we'll be right back.
This program is proudly sponsored by Life Dance Center, an integrative arts institute providing life and relationship-enhancing events, seminars, workshops, and coaching. LifeDanceCenter.com.
We're back. I'm Chip August. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. We're talking to Cheryl Curlin. We're talking about marriages that have lasted 50 years or more and getting some tips here. It's just wonderful stories in the book, but I wonder, listening to all of these people, talking to all these couples, is there sort of a pattern you get of how to solve arguments or how to get past the difficult parts of a relationship?
There was so much discussion about arguments. I mean, even in the healthiest relationships, there's arguments. And I've heard people say, we never argue. It can't possibly be. Even healthy marriages, there's going to be disagreements. And a number of the couples shared some of their formulas for solving arguments, and I'll give you a few of them. One is the 80-20 rule, and this was said by one of the husbands. And he said that you have to learn to be satisfied with 80% of what you want. You don't always have to get 100%. And the thought behind it was that so often when we're having a disagreement, one person feels more strongly than the other on the topic at hand. So in that particular subject, the person who feels more strongly gets 80% of what they want. And in the course of everyday life, something else is going to come up where the other person feels stronger on that particular topic. So this time, they get the 80%. And in sort of a natural, healthy marriage, it just tends to flip-flop automatically by itself. And so that's the 80-20 rule. Another one is called your department, my department. And I'll explain. If you have bad habits, such as, say, you leave your dishes in the sink, you don't ever put them in the dishwasher, and maybe I'm the wife and I never hang up my towel after I shower, I just throw it on the floor. Well, over time, it gets really irritating because one person's always picking up the towel and the other person's always loading the dishwasher. Well, you can either get really aggravated about it and keep fighting about it, or the husband can just say, it's just a towel, I'll hang it up, it's not that big a deal. The wife can say, look, I'll just be loading a lot of dishes over the course of the years. And that's your department, my department. I do this, you do that, it's settled, there's no more disagreement. And also what happens when somebody quits nagging you about it all the time, you say, you know what, I'm going to remember to hang up the towel, or I'm going to load the dishwasher. And then when that happens, you have to remember to give positive reinforcement and say thank you, say I really appreciate it, I noticed you did it. And when a person gets a hug or a kiss for doing something, you're going to want more of that, so that positive reinforcement helps them remember to do that bad habit and change it. They're more likely to change it than with the constant nagging or the constant bickering. So that's the your department, my department. And then another one is a couple, I thought this was really interesting. This made me really think. One couple said that when they originally got married and they fought like cats and dogs, and they just realized one day they just weren't going to survive like this. And when they started picking apart their arguments, it seemed that what they were arguing about, one person had a strength where the other person had a weakness, meaning one person was either more educated or more knowledgeable or more experienced or more talented, whatever it may be, and that was the strength. And the other person, it was a weakness for them. So when you pit those two together, you end up in a fight. And what they realized over time that if they could blend these strengths and weaknesses, that together they could accomplish much more. And that simmered down the arguments in their relationship. And, of course, 50-plus years later, they're still happily married. And so that was those are three different ways that argument resolution was talked about. And there's many more, but those are just a few of the different ones that listeners can try for themselves.
I think these are just such wonder. I get why you call them pearls.
Well, there's the thing about the book is there's tidbits all throughout Everlasting Matrimony. It's not a book like you have to read the 10 steps, and if you don't read 1 to 10, you're not going to get there. This is a book where you just open to any page, and there's going to be a little piece of something that makes you think, you know, I hadn't thought about that, or I'm going to give that a try. And you really can kind of carve a path and make some simple changes in your own relationships and see what a big difference they can make just by changing little things here and there.
Now, are you yourself married?
I am married for 17 and a half years. It is my first and only marriage. My husband's name is Steve, and we have a 10-year-old daughter, Shelby. And I always say that writing this book saved me about 5 years of marriage counseling, because I just learned so much from 75 couples married 50 years or more. I mean, what's not to learn? And I found that even if I just tried things, I didn't have to get Steve to buy into the different things that I wanted to try. If I did them, they would just be reflected at seeing changes in the relationship that have enhanced it and made it better. And it's kind of fun to try. It's almost like doing exercises, mental exercises, and seeing what works and what doesn't. And so that's 17 years and counting, and I hope I make it to 50.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing your story in one of the later editions, yeah? We're coming to the end of our time together. A couple of things. One is, if people want to get this book, how can they get it?
Okay. The book is available at my website, and it's real simple. It's Everlasting Matrimony, and it's matrimony.com, everlastingmatrimony.com. And there's an order form, and because it's a coffee table book, first of all, I'll sign all of the books that are ordered. But if you want to give the book as a gift for yourself, or if you want to get the book for yourself, or you want to give it to someone else, there's a pocket where you can write a note to me to write a personal message. If it's an occasion like an anniversary or engagement gift, I'll be happy to write a personal note. And it takes Discover, MasterCard, Visa, and that's the way to get the book, everlastingmatrimony.com.
And those of you listeners who just look at the text version of this podcast, you'll find that you can, we have a link there that you can go to everlastingmatrimony.com.
I want to say one more thing. Even
please,
if you don't want to buy the book, if you go on my website, there's on almost every page you can sign up for, it's called 50 Time-Tested Relationship Tips. Every Monday, I send out by email to subscribers a quote from a couple married 50 years or more that it's just a little piece of advice for the week. And it's free. I never share email addresses with anyone. And you can quit at any time. There's no kind of subscription. So almost on every page is a little slot where you can just fill in your email address, and you'll get time-tested relationships every Monday morning.
What a great idea. What a great idea. What a service. Listen, I always like to have my listeners have a little exercise or something they can do for their own relationship, a little tune-up. And I'm wondering, do you have some advice, some coaching, some exercise that my listeners can do?
I do, and this is sort of an undercurrent throughout the book, and to envision your relationship or your marriage as a journey, and I'll explain what I mean by that. If you're flying, say, I'm in Orlando, you're in San Francisco, if I'm going to fly from Orlando to San Francisco, I'll pick out a date and a time when I want to fly there, and I'll go on the internet, or I'll call the reservationist, and I'll say, you know, I want this flight, and they'll say, well, it's booked. So what do you do? You come up with plan B, and if plan B isn't available, then you come up with plan C, and you keep going until you find something that works, and you may have to change the date that you depart or return or the time of day, but the point is somewhere down the road is a plan that works, and that's how people really need to envision their relationships and their marriages. It's a continuing journey. There's more than one way to reach your destination, and you just have to keep trying different plans, but you don't throw in the towel. You have to have that determination to keep the journey going.
It's a great metaphor, a terrific metaphor. Our time is just about up. I want to thank you for being my guest. You've been wonderfully informative. As I say, I did read the book and loved it. Just looking at the before and after pictures, reading how people met, listening to, I can hear the couple's voices in the book. And I just think if you're a person who likes love, you're going to love this book. So
it's a book filled with anecdotes, advice, tips, something that probably every relationship will benefit from.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and insights with us.
All right. Thank
really
you, Chip, and thank you to all your listeners.
Absolutely. My name is Chip August. You've been listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I would love to hear from you. If you have ideas for future shows or you want to comment about the show you just listened to, you can reach me at chip@personallifemedia.com. That's personallifemedia.com, all one word there. If you want text or transcripts of the show or any other shows in the Personal Life Media Network, you can visit our website at personallifemedia.com. And please, if you have an idea for a future show that I use, I have a sponsor, iFrogs.com. They make accessories for iPods and MP3 players. And you give me an idea for a future show that I use, and I will gladly send you a free accessory for your MP3 player. That's it for this episode. I really appreciate you listening, and I hope you tune in again. Bye for now.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.